Turn our hearts towards you, Father. Heavenly Father, we know we will only find truth in you. I'm asking for truth here this morning, Lord, to be present. Truth in anointing. Truth in presence. Truth of your word. Father, I ask for our daily bread today. Our word, a word from you. And for forgiveness, Father, if anything done that doesn't line up with your word, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, take away all sin. I open my heart to Holy Spirit today, and I ask the same for every person here, every soul present in this room, and even those who are watching online, who will see this, that their spirit, their soul may be open to what Holy Spirit is doing here today, the moving of your spirit. I loose all judgment from our midst. There'll be no judging here today. I rebuke it. I cast it from us in Jesus' name. There'll be no evil allowed in this place in Jesus' name. Tempter, get out. You lying spirit, you have no part, you have no place in this place or in the message that goes out to those who listen. Father, I believe this, that your presence is everything. It's just everything. It just makes all the difference, Father, when we gather together. You know, Moses said this, Lord. He said, you know, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to go.
That's right.
Same here. We can go nowhere without your presence, Father. We must have it. So we ask for it in Jesus' name, that your presence would just permeate this place, permeate our hearts, our souls. And Father, you chided me today and yesterday and the day before that we haven't prayed enough for miracles here. Father, I believe the time for miracles has come to Christian Fellowship. We desire miracles in this place, Father. Life changing, heart rending, soul winning miracles. Father, help us to recognize when you do your miracles. We want to give you praise that we can get out of the way for your miracles to come. Invade us today, Lord. We ask you, just take over. Take over. Do your good pleasure here today. I thank you for the word. I thank you for your presence, for your anointing. I love, love, love your communion. Thank you for that ordinance, Lord. So I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for what you're about to do here today, Lord. And I ask that any words that I say that just really don't kind of line up, that they won't be heard. They would hear what you say, and what you say only. That anointing would be upon me to speak your word, to bring you honor and glory here in this place this day. And all God's people said, amen. Three weeks ago, you remember Cheryl here spoke a word about having God in your heart, having people in your heart when you're doing things to the Lord. And then Frank came along. He talked about the heroes of faith last week. I pray that you caught what the Spirit was saying through those. But 3 weeks ago, I was setting. It wasn't, you know, I knew that those men of God were going to be speaking. And so I didn't really have to have a word. But I was in my chair, you know, contemplating about it. And I would like to say that I was meditating on God's word, but what happened is I took a little nap. You ever done that? It just happens. But I awoke with a gasp. And these words were flashed upon me for the turbulent days ahead, which is the title of this message. It's more than just a title. I just want you to know, just so you know, we're not going to be firing any chickens at windshields here today. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 20 and 21. I'm going to be reading here from the New Living Translation, and it says this. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. God's written word can be trusted. It's not given over to any one special group or one special person for interpretation. It's just not. It's divinely inspired, and it's truth through the ages. You know, when we come to a point in our lives where we believe what God's word says over what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and experience in our flesh, that we believe his word above that, we have entered into faith's realm. Faith's realm. And faith is a realm where all things are possible. All things are possible. It's a realm where we free ourselves from what can be just be accomplished with our hands, what can be understood and accomplished with our minds, where we only acquire what we physically can do or think. It's a realm that goes beyond the natural, where the physical rules and laws that God set in motion at creation. Jesus, God said this in Genesis, the third chapter, verses 19, and it's, I'm again going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this, God said, by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. You were made from dust, and to dust you will return. You see, we were confined to this physical realm only until Jesus came and restored us to where we were before, where all things are possible. Who knows, there's times in our life where we need something that our hands or mind can't produce it. We need something beyond what the natural realm will give us. I believe this with my whole heart. God grants us great favor by bringing us into those situations. He sets us up. He brings us into those situations, and we'll look at some of this later. Now, how he'll bring us into the most difficult situation we've ever been in an entire life, way beyond our ability to accomplish it, beyond our mental ability, beyond our physical ability. And why does he do this? He wants us to turn to him. He wants us to realize that we need something more than what the natural man can produce. But even in this, he's promised he won't put more on us than we can bear, right? We all know that scripture. It speaks to everyone pretty plainly. And I would say if you're like me, he's sure a whole lot more proud of my ability than I ever thought I could do. You know, there's a song that I compared my title to that just came to me out of the clear blue. Amazing. But Carrie Underwood wrote this song in 2005. And I don't know if you know it or not, title of that song, it's really a simple song with a very simple message, but boy, it touched a nerve among Christendom and even outside of. And the title of that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Know the song? Probably all do. You're all old. No. I'm not saying anything, but, you know. Anyway, what does that title say to you when you hear, Jesus, take the wheel? What does it mean to you? Does it mean, I'm finally letting go? I'm finally letting go. Jesus, take the wheel. Or maybe it means more something like this. I feel like I've failed, and if you can do anything with this mess, Jesus, take the wheel. Maybe that. You know, I think sometimes it's like I heard the other day, said the most famous prayer of all mankind, Jesus, help. Right? But here's what I think, here's the one I believe it means, really means to most of us. I know I've asked before, and I've promised not to do it again, but would you forgive me one more time and please come help? That kind of fits, doesn't it? You know, many of us go through life just like this. It says, just because our bumper sticker says, I love Jesus, doesn't give us the right to drive like we want to meet him today. Yeah. You see, no pointing fingers. Who goes through life knocking over lookout markers that Jesus sets up? I've got some lookout markers here that I've knocked down a few times. Here's one. I've cast it into the other space realm. Don't eat this. It's not good for you. Lookout marker. I've bounced that one into outer space. I don't know if I can even see it anymore. How about this lookout marker? Don't watch this. It's from the enemy of your soul. Have you knocked that one down? Or how about this one? Don't hang out with them. They're up to no good. I've knocked that one down a few times in my life. Here's the one that I think speaks to my heart that really, really stabs. He says, how about hanging out with me instead of doing what you want to do for once? Lookout marker. Title for today, for the turbulent days ahead. It's a serious subject, and we have to take it to heart. I have some thoughts here that I believe we need to think about applying in our lives while we're pre-tribulating. I know that's not a word, you know, but we're pre-tribulating in my eyes. You see, some people believe tribulation started when Jesus went to heaven that day in the book of Acts. Other people believe that, you know, there's pre-trib, mud-trib, and post-trib. And I just don't believe we're in any of that. I just think we're pre-tribulation because I think it's going to be a time like you've never seen in all your life. I just do. So this word, I believe, I've gotten to prepare us for the days ahead. And I believe those days are close. Number one, trust what God's word says is true. Trust what God's word says is true. Say, oh, I believe that. Well, let's talk. Jesus has just been baptized by his cousin. You know, John the Baptist was considered his cousin. And Jesus went to him to get baptized. And what happens right after he gets baptized is he gets where? He gets let off into the world. Let's read about that. We're going to read from Matthew, the 4th chapter. And this is the great temptation of a physical need by Jesus. Matthew 4, 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, verse 1, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Think about that. Holy Spirit led Jesus, the Son of God, into the wilderness to be tempted. God tempts no man. Yet God, Holy Spirit, led Jesus, Son of God, into the wilderness to be tempted. Don't tell me he won't lead us into situations which we can't solve on our own. If he would do that to the Son of God. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you ever heard this word to you? Command this to be healed. Command this to be healed. Command this stone to become bread. Command this to be healed. Think about that. Maybe sometimes you hear that and the devil's just trying to destroy your faith because he knows things aren't right. You know, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. And he didn't see the Father make the stones become bread. So he used the word of God and said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. I believe, guys, we're back in the garden with this. Jesus had to go and accomplish where Adam failed. He had to be tempted as Adam was and succeed. Because see, this is where we failed. And so the second Adam, Jesus, had to come and win this. Some food for thought. It's not where we're going today. You know, our bodies require food, don't they? They do. If we don't get food, our bodies will wither and pass. They just will. It wasn't the point when the devil came to him at all. Jesus was announcing to him, no spirit, no word, no God, no life. Our bodies survive with food, but our triune person needs more than just food to survive. It withers and dies without God's word. Who we are. In fact, our physical bodies need the nourishment of God's word also. Has anyone fasted for days? I'm looking for hands. If you fasted for days, you really get hungry. Jesus was starving. In fact, I believe he was starving beyond the physical ability of a natural man to say no to food. You see, he had to go and get God's word, prophetic word, and nourish his body. He had to depend on the prophetic word of God to feed him here. He got nourishment. Remember what he told the disciples when the woman at the well? He said the same thing. He says, I have bread. I have food that you know not of. The word of God can feed our physical bodies. And there may be days coming in the days ahead that we need more than physical food to survive these turbulent times. We'll have to have and press ourselves in to the prophetic word where we can sustain ourselves on his word. We may need healing. We may need deliverance. We may need peace in these days. And we need to get these prophetic words down inside of us, or we can do like the natural man. Jesus worked in the natural and fed himself on the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. He quoted Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Listen to what it says in the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's the word he quoted. He went over into faith's realm. Went over into faith's realm and believed what God's word says above what his physical needs were for turbulent days ahead. Second Peter 1, 20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. It's a concept, a realm in faith to grow into, to march forward into. Faith realm, believing God's word is true and does what it says it will do. Jesus was believing he could live from God's word and not just from bread. Philippians, the fourth chapter, the 19th verse. Paul had a hold of this. Listen to what he says, Philippians 4:19, New Living Translation. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his riches, glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. It didn't limit it and say, well, not food. Didn't limit it and say, well, not peace. Well, not this. Well, not that. He says, all your needs. Faith realm. We can no more separate God's word from life than we can separate the breath from the life of our bodies. Breath goes out of the body, it's gone. God's word goes out of the body. John 6:63, New Living Translation. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. How did you become born again? You know, there's a thing going on in the Middle East right now where some of the peoples over there are having visions and dreams, and Jesus is coming to them because the darkness is so great and the gospel's not there, and they're getting born again. They're believing in Jesus. But how did you get born again? I would venture to say we probably all got born again about the same way. We heard God's word. It said, believe in Christ, believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again, and then the light of the gospel lit up your heart, lit up my heart, and we became new creatures in Christ. It's the word of God. It brings life. That's the way it is. We believe the word. May not have been quoted exactly as it is in Scripture, but that's how it is with the Lord. We believe the word. We believe what it says. And a lot of people would say, it's just not that simple. Yes, it is. All things are possible to him who believes. That's what it says. Trust God's word. Believe God's word. What it says. And through this, God is glorified. When we believe what he says, believe what he said, all things are possible to him who believes. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, says this. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds, everything about it. So that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. His word spoke this all into existence, every bit of it. Getting our minds and our spirits wrapped around this truth can really change the way we see and our entire perspective of life. It becomes much easier to believe Psalms 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. The earth is the Lord's. This world's his. This earth doesn't belong to the enemy. The enemy lives in a world of darkness, uncleanness, evil. There's no truth in him at all. There's nothing there to be desirable. God's word says this, Psalm 119, 103, New Living Translation. How sweet your word tastes to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Hallelujah. Who needs their path brightened up sometimes? In the coming days, I tell you, of shaking, this will be the rock which will not be shaken, his word. His word hidden in our hearts. Sometimes it just comes out of our mouth, doesn't it? Sometimes you see something and you just quote a scripture. It's word hidden in your mouth. You know, you keep doing that, you're going to go to hell. Yeah. Yeah, you will. You know. Oh, you see an action. Oh, Lord, help them. It says, our God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. We quote it, you know. And it just comes out. You don't even think about it. It's hidden in your heart, and it just speaks out. And that's what's going to keep us hiding that word and believing that word in our heart, that we just speak it out. And I'm telling you, every word of God carries with it enough authority and enough power to accomplish what it's sent to. Every word of God carries with it enough authority and enough power to accomplish that which is sent to do.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Wow. That's amazing to think that kind of authority, that kind of power rests in just words. And that we can actually be vessels through which he can speak. Anybody here feel worthy of that? Way above my pay grade. Just amazing. You know it, you say it, and it will accomplish it. Yeah, I'm looking at the time. Looking at the time. Yeah, I know it's early. That's just the first point, guys. I got two more points in closing here. We can't go there. How many believe trusting in God's word will carry us? I believe this. I'm going to talk about a church that was being shaken next week. Believe this. We are being shaken. But I also believe this. Just like Jesus was led into the wilderness by Holy Spirit, much of this shaking, God's behind it. He's bringing us to this place where we need more than we can do with our natural. We can't accomplish what he's got laid out before us as a church on our own. There's more anointing, more glory, more power needed to flow in this building, in this place where we gather together. We need the miracles of God. We absolutely need. It's what drew the crowds to Jesus. In fact, he knew most of them weren't there to hear his words. They wanted to come see the miracles that were being done. They came for the magic show, if you will. Everybody'd love to see a magic show, right? That's not our purpose. We're here to glorify God and Him alone. We haven't got the ability in ourselves to accomplish what God's setting before us as a church. We have much more to accomplish. The healings that need to be done, the souls that need to be saved. We're sitting here this morning with this number here. And how many thousands are in this city lost and undone out there? And they have no idea. They have no idea that they are. Few might. Ground starts to shake, they'll be in. But that's the truth. Would you join with me in prayer about this? Join with me in prayer. And I want to pray for miracles today to manifest. And I'll tell you this, I have seen miracles. Who knows God does miracles today? You've seen it. You've heard it. You've watched it come. And people's lives have been absolutely turned upside down from where they were because He did something to prove Himself strong on our behalf. He wants to do it. He wants to show Himself powerful, who He is, that the world may know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He forgives sins. It's reason the Scripture says He was risen with healing in His wings, that Jesus Christ is the Lord God, our healer. It's why He says He does miracles. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. He'll guide you. He'll lift you up. He'll prosper the work of your hands if you'll commit your ways to Him. If you'll lay aside all those things that are so important to me. I can't. Let's pray.